And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because that would be spoilers. And I don't want to spoil this movie for you because I want you to discover. I want you to discover all of the terrible physics and science that there is in this movie all on your own.
Please, Daddy, spoil it. Please.
It's a what?
Horrible movie. Horrible movie.
Please, Daddy, spoil it.
Things just turned a little weird there.
I don't know what the... 90% of all volcanic activity... Oh, yeah.
You were just waiting for that one.
Please, Daddy, spoil it.
Baby.
And I don't mean the milk.
Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 26.
Phew.
Half a year.
We made it.
We can quit now?
No. Lame. You suck. 6 months of podcast. Done.
No, that's not until a year that we
can quit. At 52. This will be the final now. No.
Actually, technically 53 because a year is slightly more than 52 weeks. It's like, what is it, one day more than 52 weeks?
Oh, so we'll have to do 52 episodes plus like a 10-minute piece of audio as a goodbye.
Yeah.
But let's go talk to somebody. He's back again with his really mellow theme song.
Sorry.
Hey, JD.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Don't apologize. It's a nice change up. Most of the theme songs, you know, James has got a song that just da-da-da-da-da goes, and Josh's is like a video game intro.
Yeah.
It's really, really upbeat.
It's loud.
Today's a nice mellow. A nice mellow six-month anniversary.
Yep. Yep. It's been a while.
So we're going to half-ass it today?
Because it's a half year.
Sure. But yeah, 6 months. How about that? I'm not sure when we're going to celebrate
No comment.
I don't know when we're going to celebrate another milestone.
Pretty much at 52 weeks. At
like 1 year, and then after that, maybe we'll just wait for the hundreds. We won't go nuts with like what it'll be 100, you know, 26, 52. What's 52 plus 26 real quick? 73, 79.
Two evens make an odd
70 something.
Your universe.
I was stupid and
is that the new math?
No, I was stupid and I asked myself to do math in my head live as we're recording. We could go back and I could figure the number out and sound really smart.
Do you want to do that? We can cut this out and edit it back in.
You're not going to. Okay, I'd like to point out that whenever somebody points out that we can edit this out, it's usually me pointing that out and then Mike saying no, we're not going to, because Mike's the editor. So when Mike claims that we can just edit this out, no, you know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to make me feel better.
Sorry.
God, that's okay.
Try to insult you more later. Next time.
Not like you don't insult me a lot already.
What?
Sometimes on the podcast, sometimes not. You're kind of an asshole. Welcome to the six-month anniversary where we're going to air the grievances.
Welcome to Nerd Burger with Muskrat and the asshole. Is it the alcoholic asshole?
Maybe. We're back.
Quick, do that sound effect.
No. You've requested it twice and I've done it twice. I'm not falling into that trap again.
Yes, thank you, monkey.
Yeah. Sound effect monkey, press that button. Yes, sir.
Speaking of monkeys.
Okay.
The wife dragged me to Depeche Mode the other night.
Depeche Mode?
Depress Mode.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Pout rock, but not quite as good as Morrissey.
There's this one song where everybody does this.
Where they wave their hands in the air just like like they just don't care.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Everyone except me. Who just laughed at all of the monkeys.
Did you take a video of everybody?
I thought about doing that and I was like, yeah, I'm not even.
You're really not thinking about this podcast thing. We did a video last week. We could have done another one this week. Look at all these Depeche Mode heads. What are Depeche Mode fans called? They have a funky name for them. That's a no. Mike's just looking at the ceiling. Okay.
Young geeks.
Last time JD was on...
I'm sorry, it's a podcast. I should vocalize my confusion and dismay.
last time, JD, you were on, we I mentioned about like having sold, you know, gotten paid.
Yes.
For some D&D stuff.
Yes,
that did. I wrote and got my car paid off and all that fun stuff.
Oh, right. Your little car.
My little car. My little gold car. I found out, you know, a week or two ago that the last project that I have in the pipe for Wizards of the Coast right now for Dungeon Magazine, it's an adventure, 12,000 word adventure. I'm not going to have to do any rewrites on. They liked my first draft.
Cool.
It's wow. in editing and development as we speak. It's probably going to get published in November.
That's
but we'll
fast.
See. Good. Yeah, I'm guessing they probably had something that month theme-wise that this thing fit into well, because they've been trying to theme at least some of the content in different issues.
So is that your highest dollar per hour payment?
Well,
on
it's
writing because you didn't have to do anything to it.
It might be. It was an adventure that it fell out of my head pretty easily. I didn't really, you know, it was one of the easiest times I had writing. It, you know, everything kind of came together really quickly and nicely in my head, and I wrote it all up and sent it off and didn't have to do any, supposedly still, you know, at this point, no editing or rewriting. So yeah, I got paid better for this one.
It's a good thing.
But then, of course, the sad news is it also means that I'm kind of unemployed when it comes to writing, because I have nothing that's like I'm working on for pay anyway right now, and I have nothing that may potentially come back around that I need to fix.
You're unemployed beyond your regular full-time job.
Which I am employed in, so I'm financially I'm doing fine. Although I suppose I could have told people that I was unemployed in my full-time job and maybe they'd send us money.
So if you're unemployed in your extra job, do you get counted now as one of those people who's like stopped looking for work and has dropped out of the
unemployment
figures?
I'm not. I haven't stopped looking.
Helping to keep them artificially low.
I haven't stopped looking. I mean, I'm still going to continue to work. There's a pitch window coming up in October, November. I'm going to pitch some ideas. I'm still talking to people at other companies. I'm going
to
keep
you
doing
just
that.
Have to wait a couple months.
I'm just sitting on like nothing actually to do right now. And that, you know, supposedly nothing will come back to me for this particular project.
And this is all related to the D&D 4th edition next?
Well, it's a 4th edition adventure because it's still going to be in November. So I haven't written anything for 5th edition. Maybe someday we'll get the opportunity to.
Is that out yet?
No. It's gonna be a while yet. I'm guessing next year around Gen Con time. But that's everybody who's listening who cares. Yes, I work. I freelance for D&D, but I don't know anything about when they're actually planning.
They don't tell them anything.
They don't tell me nothing about nothing. Mostly, I mean, they tell me like, here's something to write. You know, if I send an outline and they're like, change this, do this instead. Okay, that's about as much as I get told.
He has friends in the other court, so
and I could, you know, I could pick their brain and say, hey, you know, so and so, tell you know, when's it coming out? You can tell me. I won't tell anybody, and they won't tell me nothing. You know, they value their jobs too much to go blurting it to anybody, even if they trust somebody. So it's still up in the air. There's a lot of speculation that it'll be Gen Con next year.
Have you looked at the... oh, now I'm going to...
That's the best guess amongst the people who have actually thought about it.
What's it called? Numenera? Have you looked at Numenera?
I don't have the books, but I know of it. I've read a fair bit of the stuff that Monty Cook has written about it.
Yeah.
I know that our friend Billy is really into it. Maybe we'll run something sometime.
Cool. I'm interested.
It's a very bizarre game.
I'm interested.
It's set in like the far future of Earth, where it's like the ninth age. I know it's hard to describe. Mike's looking at me funny. I'm not going to try to describe Numenera right now because good Lord. It's a very...
What age are we in now?
We're in the first age.
Okay.
So this is like tens of thousands of years in the future.
Unless you believe in Atlantis, then you're definitely in at least the second age.
Oh, blasphemer. Atlantis. So, yeah, there you go. What have you been up to, Mike? How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I usually don't ask you how you're doing.
I know you don't care, so it doesn't bother me.
Well, it's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't care, Mike. It's just that I don't care.
Aw.
Are your legs better?
Aw.
Are your legs better?
No.
Your mosquito bites, are they gone? Are you going to have permanent scars?
Maybe.
44 permanent scars on your ankles?
Yeah.
Now, Allison, your wife, knows what happened there, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to, if you have real scars down there, and, you know, you wear shorts and...
I'm wearing them right now.
People see it's like, you know, your family knows about it because it happened while you were visiting.
Right.
But, you know, are you going to have to explain all these
what's wrong with
all these little syringe-like scars?
There's a failed
in the
tattoo.
Back of your ankle. It's like, is that a place to do heroin?
I was just thinking the same thing.
He's got track marks on his ankles.
Now I know that you know, typically you just do it right there where you get your blood drawn.
The
elbow, and if you want to hide it, you do it in between your toes.
Between your toes. Yeah. I've heard of people doing it in their eye.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes. Like at the side of the eye. Yep. Like they hide it, like, you know, you slide
in the corner?
In the corner. Like inside of the actual eyelids, but
what's
on the other side of the eyeball, like right, going yeah. kind of toward okay. your ear more.
Still though, what's the or maybe near of people the, that maybe, go blind
maybe near the nose
that.
Side? Well,
probably higher than if they don't do that.
Yeah,
I imagine it's a question of they just have to make sure that if they're shooting up in groups. Well, I mean, if you do it to yourself, you have nobody but yourself to blame. If people, you know, if you're shooting up in groups, then you got to make sure that, you know. You don't
the person who's injecting you hasn't injected themselves yet.
Where they suddenly, because not that, well, to be honest, I suppose either an upper or a downer would make that a bad kind of injection to try to make. Because if you're on an upper of some sort, you're all jittery and shaking and potentially poking somebody in the eye. And if you're on a downer, you might suddenly just slump over.
Today on Nerdburger, how best to inject each other with drugs in a group setting.
From three guys who have never done heroin cocaine, as far as we know. I haven't done any of that kind of stuff. I was like, well, what do I want to say? I've had codeine and, you know, I've had stuff for procedures and things. You know, I've had
things in the same family.
I've been prescribed things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I've not, no hook it to the vein kind of.
Where to go from here?
After my heart surgery, I did get some really good painkillers, IV, and they were really fun. But other than that, no, never.
Morphine?
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you want to go to a callback from a previous episode?
Okay,
I'm going to try to show this.
Do I need to be
you don't need
the upper
to
or the lower?
I'm trying to show this to both of you on my computer. This is cosplay from, I think it's from Dragon Con this year.
Somebody is Sharknado.
It's a Sharknado.
Somebody.
Go ahead and describe it.
Okay. Remember in Karate Kid when Daniel had his Halloween costume? It's kind of like that, but it looks like a Sharknado.
Yeah, it's a big circle of a big funnel of fabric that looks kind of like a tornado with all sorts of rubber sharks and toy sharks attached to it.
I wonder if they're having to rotate around or if they have it.
No, there's a person in there.
But are they spinning it around themselves?
Is that a vine or a
this is a GIF.
It's a weird.
It's hard to tell if they're spinning it around themselves or if they're actually spinning in a circle and getting dizzy in the process.
Okay, we'll put that on the website.
We'll put it on the website and you can judge for yourself.
Nice.
I discovered that a couple weeks ago and I just kept forgetting to bring it up.
I still have not seen that.
Sharknado?
I pull stuff off.
Mega Piranha's on Netflix.
Mega Piranha. All right.
Should we do another show?
No. As much as I'm sure Eric Forsberg, who might remember me from the Renaissance Fair, would enjoy having us talk about his movie. Anyway, no. But if you want to watch Sharknado, I'm sure you can find it somewhere. And if you want to watch Mega Piranha, which Jim mentioned in his episode, because he was wearing a Mega Piranha t-shirt at Gen Con, yep. And everybody was losing their
dude.
Yeah. It's on Netflix now. I might watch it this week. We'll see.
I should. I will.
Do you have news?
Not really. Sounds like someone does, though.
I have news.
Excellent.
Hit us.
AMC
Movies.
Is moving forward.
Oh, you are.
With a Breaking Bad spinoff featuring Saul Goodman.
Yay, Better Call Saul! That's what it's called, right?
I think so. It's supposed to be a prequel, which is the smart way to do it, because that way we don't know whether or not Saul's going to buy it before the Breaking Bad's done. It's like, well, we have to be. If they said, well, we have to make it a prequel, wink, wink.
Right. And if Saul survives Breaking Bad, they can just skip over and have it be a postquel, or whatever you call that.
They could do a couple seasons as a prequel, where Saul's, you know, actually got a, he's a slimy lawyer and everything, but he could be, you know, generally in good spirits and just kind of having fun. It could be a dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could say, And in between season 3 and 4 of Better Call Saul is when the events of Breaking Bad happen. And when they come back to season 4 of Better Call Saul, he's a broken man. Yeah. He's got nothing left.
He still has all the bruises and scars from Jesse beating the crap out of him.
He's missing a hand.
Whoa! Hey!
I don't know if that's anything like that's going to happen on Breaking Bad. But yeah, whatever. You know, he's
occupational hazard.
He's just mentally destroyed. He's an emotional wreck. So,
do we want to talk about last week's episode?
No. Okay. We'll talk about the whole thing when it's all done.
That's what I figured we were doing, saving it up.
Yep.
Burn Notice ended.
I heard.
It ended well. I liked it.
Good, nice wrap-up conclusion for everybody?
Yep. They killed a main character, which was nice.
So there's a surprise. And it was a surprise. It wasn't like you were expecting that character to buy it.
Correct.
Good surprise. Okay, cool. We just watched it last night.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Are you planning on watching it?
I might eventually.
I've watched some of it. I figured you might.
Yeah.
Two episodes was enough for me. Oh. I thought it was cute. I did. I like the chin. I always like the chin.
Well, for most of the run of that show, it was kind of A-team-ish in the sense that people never really got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Lots of bullets, lots of gunplay,
but everybody would just...
Yeah, lots of explosions, but nobody ever really...
Everybody dives out of the car before the car explodes.
Yeah. Nothing but buildings get hurt in this episode.
Until this last season.
It's true. They never...
They started killing people.
That was an 80s thing. Escapism.
Mm-hmm.
80s action TV. Where it was, nobody ever got killed. A-Team, Knight Rider,
yep.
Starsky, you go back to the 70s, Starsky and Hutch. Hutch never shot no bad guy in the head.
Kojak probably did. And what was the other guy?
What was his name? What was the pimp on Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, I can't remember. Gosh.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. Oh. Huggy Bear never had to put down no bitches.
No. Nope.
Although, going back to Breaking Bad, I am going to rewatch last week's episode and pay special attention to the phone call during Walt's drive out to the desert and count how many times Jesse calls him a bitch, because I swear to God it's close to a dozen.
I think Jesse calls Walt for the first time in that episode.
Instead of Mr. White?
Doesn't call him Mr. White. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Oh, but now this will air by the time that this next episode of Breaking Bad is out. The one that's called Ozymandias.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
The episode is entitled Ozymandias.
Nice.
Not so much in reference to the character from
the third.
But in reference to the actual, right, to the historical original figure.
Right.
Yeah.
We were supposed to look up our mythology to figure out possible clues. So are you going to tell us now so I don't have to do that?
Well, oh, as far as... Oh, is that something from...
I don't know who Ozymandias is.
Ramses the third.
And there's a poem about him that...
It's Alexander the Great.
There's a poem by somebody that I don't remember.
Bad.
It's a whole question of master of all I survey.
He took over the entire
world. He conquered the world.
Okay.
From China all the way across to Europe.
This
is in reference to Walt and in the poem, his empire.
Essentially, in the poem, it references something along the line. The line is something along the lines of master over which all I survey, or over which all he surveys. So yeah, I mean, it's referencing Walt.
Right. Okay. So what happens to this guy?
I don't know. We didn't do the research. Good job. Excellent pre-production. This kind of came up spontaneously.
Yeah. Well, you always do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You look those things up or you find them.
Yeah. Well,
I assumed you knew.
Where this is going, you assumed wrong. Where this is going is that Vince Gilligan,
aww,
there we go. Vince Gilligan has stated this past week when he's been interviewed about, he's constantly being interviewed rolling up to the end of the show, that this coming episode, the one that you have just watched for you listeners out there, is his favorite episode of the show and probably the best episode they've ever done. And they've finished all the episodes at this point.
But there are two more after this one.
This is going to be, I have the feeling this might be the one that's really going to be like, holy crap.
Yay.
Where everything goes to town. And then it'll be like two episodes of Denouement. Well, they'll kind of wrap things.
Right.
Denouement?
Yes, Denouement, because I'm American.
Like Soleil Moonfry last week.
Yes.
I almost called you out on that during the show.
But you decided not to be a dick last week.
No, I decided
save it
to
till
do
now.
It this-
yeah. Anyway, speaking of 70s and 80s television, going to that.
Uh-huh. Are we done with news?
For now.
Okay.
Interesting. twist.
I was trying to segue, and then Mike decided to bring it back to Breaking Bad, and then in the process,
you were trying to be a make two-wheeled me
look
vehicle?
Like an idiot. What? So
I didn't do that on purpose, though. I was accidentally an asshole.
No, it's your resting state.
Well, speaking of assholes,
Mike's resting state is being a douchebag.
And this is a this we won't talk about
how he
this
got for, married. I'll never know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
She's nice.
What the fuck, right?
a little glimpse into Mike's marriage. I hear on a regular basis, Mike will say something or refer to something or point out something, and Allison will look at me and say, "Do you see this? Do you see what I have to put up with?" And I'm sitting there thinking,
it's true.
And I'm sitting there thinking, he's doing this for me. I mean, I'm his audience for this, the shtick that he's doing right now. Why are you asking me this?
She does the same thing when my dad's visiting, because he's my audience and I'm his audience, and we just feed off each other.
So, 70s and 80s television.
Wait.
What? We're really good at this segueing thing. It's a good thing we've been working on it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of assholes.
Okay.
You have to check out the video on the internet called Butt Water.
What?
Butt Water.
Yeah.
That's not a very good name. He's looking it up.
Do I need to turn your volume up?
I assume. I assume
they don't even show me a preview of the video on the Google page here, so I'm a little bit afraid. Oh, can't. Content warning. It's got the little red guy, little red face guy going, video's not here anymore.
NSFW. Not safe for work.
It's actually, you got to do sign in there. I'm not going to mess around with that now. So, okay, fine. Look up Butt Water. We can link to that too, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not anything like Scary. Tub Girl, is it?
Tub Girl?
Oh, look that one up. Introducing Mike to all sorts of horrible stuff on the web.
Oh God. Tub Girl.
Okay. But yeah, Butt Water is, Central Florida rednecks at their best.
Okay.
Ouch.
It's a shame you can't pull it up because it begins with a chant of butt water, and then the visual element, which really
wouldn't play well on a podcast because you thought this out really well. We'll link to it.
And by really well, you mean not at all.
Not at all. You just thought about it right now. Okay.
So butt water and tub girl.
Oh.
Not pretty.
Episode title.
Oh, no. I will quit. This will be the last episode.
I used up my bad episode title tokens last week.
Yeah. Can we segue now? Okay. JD.
Yeah.
I'm scared. You're a fan of some obscure TV from the 70s and 80s. And is this mostly like you've watched stuff now, or this is just you have fond recollections? We're going to get nostalgic.
I enjoyed it when I was a kid. I realized how fucking stupid, it was
F-bombs.
Later on. And now I'm seeing the same actors in new shows and then
30
going
years
back,
later.
Yeah, going back to watch things. And the recent one was Flash. The main character from Flash plays
Flash,
the main character.
Was it
I can't remember his name now. He has three names, so he's probably a psycho killer. I can't remember his name. Well, he's openly gay actor, but he had a really brief career as the Flash and then lots of character roles since then. He plays a really bad father figure who locks his son in a cooler and then gets killed by a monster in Teen Wolf. And I finally
watched. So the actor's on Teen Wolf now.
Yeah. So I finally watched Teen Wolf and I saw him get killed. I'm like, cool, I liked him.
So he's not naturally that fast. Because apparently he got caught on Teen Wolf.
He got caught and
this is Teen Wolf, the TV series?
The MTV series. Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I don't remember Michael J. Fox dying in a cooler.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
No. The TV series is more interesting than the movie was, but not horribly interesting. It's still teenage werewolves and teenage vampires, and there's way too much of that these days. I liked much more interesting things back in the day.
They're not sparkly, are they?
No.
At least they have that going.
John Wesley Shipp?
Yes, him.
Okay, slightly off. This is a 1990 to 91 series, so close to the 80s.
Yeah, he's still doing stuff. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
But the series, I was thinking the series was in the 80s. It was the 90s, but the very beginning of the 90s.
The Flash? was the 90s?
91, 90 to 91, one season.
I did not know that. I thought it was late 80s.
You just lost track.
Well, I was...
Because you're getting old.
Yeah. I was in State College, Pennsylvania. We're heading to Germany and not really paying much attention.
Unless you found a time machine and went...
No. Not.
We're sitting there in 1985.
Not what I'm going to tell you about.
And after you got home from watching Back to the Future, you said, I can do that. And built yourself a DeLorean time machine and traveled to 1990 to watch The Flash.
No.
No?
Nope. But I watched that after watching wonderful stuff like the Incredible Hulk, anything with Bill Bixby in it. I loved those kinds of shows. And then when I finished college and I had a boring life, I started watching TV again. And so I guess that's why I was watching The Flash, which was supposed to be a spinoff or a similar to the Batman series with Tim Burton. They tried to do costumes and the world similar to Tim Burton.
Oh, so it was kind of...
Not nearly darkest.
It was kind of... Weird,
dark
creepy,
and
weird,
campy,
kind of creepy gothic.
Yes,
weird, yeah, weird, gothic. Weird gothic, like the Tim Burton.
They even killed his brother trying to make him a little more angry, so they even changed his character a little. But it was interesting.
I never watched it. I mean, I can see the guy, and I admittedly
Mark
I just
Hamill
looked at it
was,
online, but
Mark Hamill was the villain. That was the only really good thing from that series. That one season was Mark Hamill. They actually did a spin-off TV movie of Mark Hamill again. Playing that same character, trying to kill the Flash again.
Mark Hamill really had a rough time.
Was that Corvette Summer?
No. This was years after Corvette Summer.
That was back in...
Years after his appearance on
78 or 79 or whatever, between the first two Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was after. When was Corvette Summer?
I don't remember. I didn't...
If only
I didn't
there was
like
a way
the
to look
actor
that, up.
That well. So.
Is that before or after his face got mangled?
78. So it's in between. In between the first
him,
two movies.
I liked him in one movie.
Right around the same time he... Got in the crash.
Yeah.
And cut his
face. I like his voice as a villain nowadays.
Well, he's the Joker.
I didn't like any other of the early movies except for Star Wars. I didn't like Empire Strikes Back or...
The hell you say?
Because...
What?
I didn't like his character in those. I didn't like Luke. I thought Luke was a poorly written, poorly acted character.
The whiny little bitch.
Whiny little bitch. And Harrison Ford was such a better actor. And I'm sorry, I was a big Harrison Ford fan.
Okay. Well,
so
you had
Han Solo.
You had your favorite.
Should have taken over the world and ruled as the Empire. So,
well, he could have done it with a good blaster at his side.
Yes. Yep.
Not some no hokey ancient religion.
Yeah. And then everybody else in the world likes Boba Fett better, but I was a huge
Boba
Millennium
Fett.
Falcon.
When did Boba Fett first appear, Mike?
When did Boba Fett first appear?
Yes. What was the first appearance of Boba Fett? Not a trick question.
Timeline? Which timeline?
Okay, you don't. You
real
clearly,
timeline?
You clearly don't know the answer.
First three movies.
You clearly don't know the answer. You're supposed to say Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
But it's not. He appears in animated form in the Christmas Star Wars Hollywood special. Wars Christmas special in between the first two movies.
Okay. I did not know they did that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's terrible. I have it on videotape.
I want to see that. I want to see
it's like an eighth generation copy.
We should have a viewing party because I've never seen
it
either.
That sounds cool. That sounds cool.
It's a musical.
I've heard about it.
Ouch.
It has a Boba Fett animated sequence. That's about the high point. And it's not good animation because it's like 1978, 79 animation.
I hope I remember it.
B. Arthur's in it.
Oh. Ouch.
Is it Sid
Muppet
Caesar?
Movie.
Harvey Korman? I don't remember Sid Caesar, but Harvey Korman's in it. Yeah. The opening sequence is Chewbacca's family on Kashyyyk.
Do they sing a song?
Oh, if only. No, it's his grandpa, and is it supposed to be his wife and son?
Does his grandpa have gray fur?
Yeah, it's graying. And they have conversations with each other in Wookiee.
Yeah, with subtitles?
No. I don't recall there being subtitles.
Ouch. So you don't know what they're talking about.
Well, you kind of, like, there's pantomiming and things going on. I don't recall there being subtitles. It's been forever since I watched it. But and it's not just like a 2-minute scene. It's like 7 or 8 minutes.
TV
it's
was,
the whole first act.
TV was slower back then.
Before the commercial break. It's terrible. But it also features Carrie Fisher singing the Star Wars theme song. That is to say, the theme song of, from Star Wars.
Wait, right.
The you one, know the song I'm talking about, the instrumental. The
Bill Murray
the one that Bill Murray sings, yeah. The lounge act.
No, no, not
the
that.
The lounge act was great.
No, it's an
Star
actual.
Star Wars, beautiful
Star Wars.
No, no, not that. But it's the Star Wars theme with lyrics put to it by a professional, quote unquote, professional songwriter. And she's singing it. Clearly coked out of her head.
Nice.
So, yeah, maybe we'll have a viewing. Anyway, that's a sidetrack there.
Whatever you need to do to remain thin.
That's that's Star Wars. Yeah, I've seen it once or twice. I've watched it, but maybe we'll watch it. What else? Back to the 70s. What were you saying? Sid and Marty Croft?
Oh, God. Sid and Marty Croft. H.R. Puffin stuff was one of my big... When I was a kid, I really liked that show. And we went to Los Angeles, and I actually got to go to Universal Studios, and Puffin stuff tried to bite me. The actual big guy in a suit tried to bite me.
In the big yellow
costume. And it's horrible. And I immediately started crying and yelling at the producers, yelling at the people saying, Puffin stuff would never bite anyone. It's horrible. And I was not a good boy that day.
Maybe H.R. Puffin stuff had been Puffin stuff and had the munchies.
Probably. Which years later when I enjoyed the show.
Did you ever watch any of this Sid and Marty Croft stuff? Oh, my God. Those guys were high all the time.
Yeah. Pretty
the producers,
boy.
The writers.
Oh, yeah. Pretty Little British Boy with a magic flute. I'm sorry. I liked it better later on when I figured out all the subtext.
Yeah, all the gay subtext.
There's all sorts of weird, creepy subtext. Mainly drug stuff.
Oh, it's drug stuff too, yeah. Not gay well, stuff, but... yeah. I mean, Puffin stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Puffin stuff was that's definitely a little 420 reference.
Did Land of the Lost, was that full of subtext? I think that was just
there's
an adventure show.
Not much. And then what was the other one I loved? Sigmund the Sea Monster.
Not familiar
I loved
with
because
that one.
Of Johnny Whitaker. By then I understood that, you know, teenage boys in shorts and in the water. That was cool.
Oh,
but it was a really, really dumb show. It was a really dumb show. The Bugaloos were better.
The Bugaloos?
The Bugaloos were great.
I've only ever seen H.R. Puffin stuff. I've seen just like a couple episodes.
Lidsville. I mean, they did a lot of shows.
And they did a lot of drugs.
A lot of drugs, yes. But
this might be the drug episode. Talking about a lot of different drugs here. I'm just going to play this.
Ouch.
Marshall, Will, and Holly on the routine.
You never watched Land of the Lost, Mike?
A couple of times, but not regularly.
Oh.
I thought it was way too cheesy.
It is. I'm watching. Oh, that animation is great. They're clearly riding their raft down like a stream that's the width of my hand.
Yeah.
It's like pebbles.
Is this the show with the slee stacks?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. They made the movie out of it and did a good job with the movie.
Yeah, that's... Well, they was just a vehicle for Will Ferrell.
Correct.
But they did, you know, they had the dinosaurs and they had the tree bridge across the gorge and the tree trunk and the slee stacks. But it was...
What do they call
the best part of that movie is when Will Ferrell's yelling, Matt Lauer can suck it!
Didn't see it.
No, that was...
Out of context, it's still kind of funny.
Well, yeah, because he can.
But yeah, I watched Land of the Lost quite a bit. Marshall, Will,
that
and
was
Holly
one of the last ones in that series. Expedition. I was too old to really appreciate it at that point.
But it was an ambitious show.
Yeah,
for its time. I mean, yes, the effects were 1974 stop motion animation. It wasn't very great, you know, wasn't real good, but it was a pretty ambitious show for, you know, very imaginative. As you know, the slee stack race of the reptilian people, and they were mostly evil, but there was like the one good guy who was enlightened, and he had the time machine or spatial distortion,
something like that.
The pylon that they went in there, you fiddled with the crystals, and it got you to a different place. And ideas of world hopping and time travel, and
it was all stolen.
All
from,
in the midst of dinosaurs.
Beneath the world, beneath the earth. What was the H.G. Wells?
H.G. Wells
stole from
Journey to the
Lost World.
Lost World.
Lost World.
They stole from. They borrowed from. They borrowed, paid. Borrowed. They paid homage to.
They probably didn't pay anybody, from. But still.
What was your favorite show from the 70s?
From the 70s?
Sure.
He MASH. Wasn't a
MASH. Oh, really? When you were in the single digits, you really dug that political anti-war satire?
Wow. It's a show from the 70s. I didn't watch it until the 80s, but...
Oh. Well, what did you watch in the 70s?
I don't really remember watching anything in the 70s. Maybe Brady Bunch reruns?
Reruns.
Brady
of, Bunch. Okay, sure. Syndication. Hogan's Heroes.
Gilligan's Island. Well, that's 60s.
Show, yeah, but yeah. Right, but in syndication, in yeah. reruns.
What was the what who what you talk about, Willis? Different Strokes.
Different Strokes, that's 80s. Yeah. But that, yeah.
What's Happening? We talked about that last week.
Hey.
Oh, it was Danielle is the sister's
you
name.
Couldn't remember.
Oh, was that her name?
Week.
That doesn't sound familiar
at all.
It
doesn't sound familiar at all either, but I looked it up and it's Danielle.
Okay.
Because it was bugging me.
Welcome back, Cotter. I can't think of any. I'm sure I watched some obscure stuff during that, but I think it's just trailed
happy
off.
Happy Days, The Waltons.
It's just trailed off.
Three's Company. And Three's the only company. Reason.
The vagaries good, of memory. Actually.
Because my parents forbade us from watching it, which ensured that we would watch it.
Oh, because it had a gay guy on it that wasn't actually
no,
gay.
No. It was all what the was all the sexually suggestive stuff. Oh, okay. Yeah. Had nothing to do with the gay thing.
Okay. It was very suggestive.
That's true. It was very suggestive.
Very suggestive.
Well, I mean, it had a whole peripheral character whose entire shtick was whether or not he was getting laid. Mm-hmm. Larry.
Yeah.
And the fact that Mr. and Mrs. Roper never had sex was brought up in every episode by Mrs. Roper.
But it's just like the gun comment that we were talking about before. No one actually gets laid.
No, they talk about it. There's never a love scene. No.
Shoot, but nobody gets
well,
laid.
Well, there's like, you see the characters on dates occasionally.
And there's always the, there was always the scene where two of the characters were in another room and they were doing something completely not sexual, but it was all sounded innuendo and sounded like something.
Oh,
was
that's
happening.
My favorite episode of Three's Company.
Yeah.
The one where people overhear something through the kitchen door and they misunderstand it. That's my favorite episode.
Yeah. Golden Girls is better. They're actually having sex. I love that.
Yeah, I watched that too.
Yep.
As has been commented on the podcast, but it was all that was on.
Yeah, it was for a while.
What was the first show that actually, I'm trying to think, 70s and 80s, you know, going through the 70s and 80s, what was the first show that actually, that I watched that actually showed, like, they didn't, you know, necessarily show anything graphic, nothing nudity or anything, but really kind of presented two people as having had sex. As
I don't know about
like
that.
Like, in a bedroom.
I'll see things, shows that I watched when I was a little kid, and obviously all that stuff went over my head.
Right.
And
Bugs Bunny, probably.
It's amazing how far back it goes. Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff has been on TV, and it's you looking back, you think, oh my God, they were talking about that. They were doing that on TV back then in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, and they were. And it's amazing the kind of subject matter that just with having not been alive during that time period and hearing about how, you know, sanitized everything supposedly
right.
was.
Well,
it really wasn't.
Well, it was to an extent, but
it was not as much as it's portrayed to have been.
Yeah.
Censored.
Well, everybody thinks they live in the most progressive time and that everything that came before was a bunch of tight asses that didn't talk about any of that stuff. Well, it's not really the truth. That's not the truth. But there is things like, you know, on I Love Lucy, when Lucy got pregnant, they never used the word pregnant.
Yeah.
They couldn't use the word pregnant on the show. They had to refer like to her. She had a bun in the oven. She was with child. She was glowing. She was every euphemism you can think of.
Like, they can never show a bedroom without the separate beds.
Right.
They can
until,
never show a bathroom with a toilet in it. If they showed the bathroom,
and never
the toilet,
show the toilet flushing.
Yeah. You couldn't show the toilet. Yeah, that's right. All in the Family.
All in the Family was the first one that flushed the toilet on the air.
On the air,
Wow. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, where it was, you know, it was always kind of there, but they sort of, well, we
yeah, like
we
go
don't
go back
to,
and watch Leave It to Beaver.
Acknowledge.
All those scenes of the boys in the bathroom, you never
There's
see
no
a toilet.
No,
Brady Bunch either. Never see a toilet.
What's the
six kids sharing one bathroom and no one ever took a poop?
Have you guys watched Shameless?
You can pee in the shower or the sink if you're a boy or a girl if you get up
the lead-in to Shameless is the entire family using the same bathroom.
Yes.
And every one of the characters runs in, jumps up on top of the toilet, drinks beer, shaves, all this stuff going on.
And the father goes in there and passes out and then gets drugged out of the toilet.
Yes.
And the girl, Fiona goes in there to like do her makeup or something. And one of the boys goes in there to use the bathroom. And it's just a steady shot on the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Each of the main characters in this family going into the bathroom.
Showtime show?
Shameless.
Shameless. It's based upon a UK show. And
is the UK great. Opening it's like great. That?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
But, you know, the whole thing is it's this Irish family that
they're,
you know, kind of dirt poor and barely scraping by, and
they are scary fun,
and they have the, you know,
dark this,
they have a good sized house but apparently just the one bathroom in it,
but they shoot people and they have sex, so I like it.
Yeah, that's true. Is it Emmy Rossum?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, she gets naked a few times.
And what's his name? Pretty. William H. Macy. I love
William H. William. Macy. He gets naked a little bit, too.
Doesn't do anything
get
for some us.
William H. Macy, but
it's not good.
Not even, no.
Nope.
Not digging William H. Macy.
And I try not to pay too much attention to the young son because he's underage, but he ends up being.
Oh, the actors aren't.
No, they're not.
It's okay.
You can go ahead and think that guy's cute. I think he's a good-looking fella.
Well, because
he's probably 22.
He ends up being
a 16-year-old.
16-year-old that seduces his boss at the quickie mart, basically, and is being done in the locker room, or not the locker room, the ice chest, when the other characters come in, where the wife comes in. I mean, it's really creepy, wonderful, great show.
Isn't that how his dad finds him?
Yes,
and William H. Macy's character walks because he's been hiding it. He's been in the closet,
mm-hmm.
and William H. Macy's character walks and he's perpetually drunk. He's this, he's a drunk Irishman who doesn't pay attention to his kids.
Typecasting.
Yeah, it's terrible. But he walks in, he sees his son.
Opens the cooler, gets a beer out,
and just kind of like, hey, how's it going? And he just turns around and walks back out. That's it. Dad's cool with it.
Yep, very cool.
Just kind of has a moment.
The boyfriend du jour, that boyfriend wants to kill him, tries to kill him.
Yeah, and the bully.
Yeah.
There's the bully who's always after him, but turns out to be a very, you know, in the closet.
Close-minded.
Well, he's the violent in the closet,
yeah.
projecting it on everybody else, homosexual.
Yep.
Where he's actually in love with the character.
The end of the whole series.
The character, the other guy, whatever, I can't think of his name, but the...
I can't remember.
The gay member of the... Of the family. Family. He's clearly in love with them, and they do get together eventually.
At
the
end of that season,
smoochy and stuff. But he's an a-hole most of the time. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't watch it, so I'm completely lost now.
Sorry, it's a really
fun show.
Good.
I've seen it. I think I saw the first couple episodes.
It's a fun show.
It's a good show.
I haven't watched the most recent season, but anyway.
I need to get it on DVD. It's good.
But going back to, like, you know, when shows kind of broke out stuff, All in the Family is a good one they hit on so much stuff for the first time.
MASH did a lot of things. They were the first show that didn't use a laugh track, but only for one episode. Every other show used laugh tracks, if I remember correctly.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of shows that in the 70s is when...
Sitcoms, sorry.
Okay, well, but look, when did, because there's, you know, some shows do the, you know, recorded live in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
And that's not a laugh track.
No.
When you say laugh track, and this is one of the things online that irritates me, whenever people hear laughing in a sitcom, not necessarily a laugh track.
Correct.
That's a recording of an audience watching the performance.
Right.
Or, a laugh track or canned laughter is just a fake bunch of laughs that's laid over without an audience ever having actually watched the show. Most shows nowadays record live or, you know, record their audience's responses.
And if not, like How I Met Your Mother, because they can't because of the format.
Yeah. Well, and when it's those...
They show it to an audience and record the audience's laughter.
Like those one camera... Well, yeah, they can't because they do like, you know...
All four, the flashbacks. 40,
well, they do 40 scenes an episode.
Mm-hmm.
All in the Family hit on... what's the word I'm looking for? When a dude can't get the thing going?
Oh, erectile dysfunction.
Well, there's...
Sorry, that was the inappropriate version.
I was looking for the word that they used in the 70s, not the one.
Well, you invited me, so you don't get the cleaned up version. Sorry.
But they had, you know, Mike couldn't perform.
Meathead
couldn't perform for Gloria. They had an episode on that. They had, you know,
Meathead's meat wasn't working.
Yeah. Jeez. Archie getting kissed by Sammy Davis Jr.
I forgot about that.
Oh, that's such a great episode.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Have you seen that one?
I didn't like that show at the time, but I liked it soon.
Archie comes home with the story that he had Sammy Davis Jr. in his cab.
Yeah.
And that Mr. Davis left his briefcase behind. So he's got the briefcase with him, and he left a note with his, because he moonlights as a cab driver, and he left a note with the company that he's got the, you know, apparently they didn't leave it at the, just leave it with the company, but
he took it home.
Yeah. But that's how they made
so
the
episode.
So he
could rifle through it.
No, I don't think, I don't recall them ever going through it. Is it full of black people stuff? What's he going to do? I mean, what's Archie looking for in a black dude's? In a black Jew's
evidence he's a communist
in a black Jew's
briefcase
anyway. Yeah. And then Sammy Davis Jr. of course gets in touch with him, and then he comes over and he's there at the end of the episode.
Yep.
And Archie's going on his whole little spiel, and he's being as polite as Archie can be. You know, he's making comments.
He's trying.
He's being racist.
He's trying.
And you know, anti-Semitic, but. In like the lightest, it's like the lightest version of Archie doing those things, because he's trying not to, but it's just kind of coming out.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Edith, can you get a photo of me and Mr. Davis? And they pose next to each other, and he's got his arm around Sammy Davis Jr. And just as Edith goes to take the photo, he Sammy Davis
turns and kisses him.
Kisses him on the cheek. And that's the big, yeah. You know, and the whole audience applauds and cheers. And,
I bet.
And then he walks out, it's nice to meet you, Mrs. Bunker. And he, right out the door. And I did the and I kind of pantomimed a little dance thing because Sammy Davis Jr. is a song and dance man. That's why I like that. I was trying to bring a little.
Not because black Jews are song and dance people.
No, because Sammy Davis Jr. is a song and dance man. Anyway.
Are we done talking about TV shows?
For now, I suppose. Who knows? We'll probably sidetrack into it again.
I thought it was supposed to be obscure TV shows.
Well, we hit on a few, and then we went all over
back to the more popular stuff. But.
See, we're doing this episode just like we do all the other episodes, which is just let it run where it's going to run. Would we like to learn some science?
Science!
Some geological facts?
Geological, not geographical.
It's learning with Craig.
Aww.
Facts about the Earth. We can link to this as well. But
learn us, Craig.
Sure. How many hours are in a day?
20. Is this a trick question?
Yes.
24 point something.
Or 23 hours, 20. 56 minutes and 4 seconds. Yeah.
20, and there's 23 your, point something.
Yes. And there's your leap day.
3.56 something.
The Great Wall is not visible from space. China's air pollution is.
No, it's rejuvenating mist.
Rejuvenating. It's not air pollution. It's rejuvenating mist. I imagine it's dots around the major industrial area, you know, the big cities. The largest
puffy gray dots.
Yeah.
Or grayish brown.
The largest meteor ever to fall to Earth left no crater.
Because it exploded over the Siberian forest?
10 times cooler than that.
Ooh.
Ocean.
The Hoba meteorite was flat on both sides.
Like a pancake?
So scientists postulate that it may have skipped through the atmosphere like a stone on water.
No. How do they even know? It burns stuff on the ground?
Scientists figure out all this stuff. I don't know. I'm not that guy, but
they're just assuming too much.
It came in and bounced off the atmosphere somehow.
And the world is flat and is on top of a turtle, so I'm fine.
It's turtles all the way down.
Right.
What's the turtle on? That's the joke, right?
Yeah.
The Earth sits on top of a giant turtle. Well, what's the turtle on? It's turtles all the way down.
There was a Dr. Seuss book about that. Yertle the turtle.
Was it about that?
Kind of. It was just a giant stack of turtles.
I remember that being turtles piled up, mm-hmm. Okay, let's play a... Let's play the game. Let's play like a Price is Right style game.
Okay.
You got to guess the number. Closest one without going over wins.
Okay.
Okay.
How many lightning strikes are there in a day on Earth? I'll give you a clue. It's over 100,000.
Okay. 248,000.
248,001.
We'll let JD answer.
I was going to say the number right below that. $248,399.
Okay, $248,399. Okay, Mike, you win. $8.6 million.
$8.6 million.
Lightning strikes.
No, he won. He guessed over me.
No, I was going under. Below. I thought it was below.
You made him guess over you. You postulated that he was going to guess over you. He wanted to guess under.
He said 248 million.
Listeners, go back.
399 or
he
something.
Was trying to go low, and he just screwed up math in his head, so like I did.
I actually got it right then. Cool.
Okay, so fine. You want that? You want it that way, Mike?
We both
JD
win.
Wins.
How about we both win?
Yeah. We'll play the game. No. I see him going for his little soundboard there.
I've got something I can play.
Percentage number. We'll play the game again.
Okay.
What percentage of the water on Earth is salt water? JD first. Don't look at the screen. I'll turn it away from you.
I would say upwards of 80%.
Mike?
81%.
97%.
Mike wins!
Yeah, the oceans are really big mm-hmm. and really
yep.
deep.
Yep.
It's kind of a neat little sign. It's got all sorts of fun graphics on it and everything, but it breaks it down into space and atmosphere and the sea, the briny deep, as Jim would call it, underneath the earth. Where, well, I'm not going to make you guess this one, but here's a good one. 99% of Earth's gold lies in its core.
The core of iron?
Well, it's not entirely. It lies in the core of the earth, not necessarily that one big ball. Okay. You know, there's all sorts of molten metal down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to form a 1.5-foot coat of gold around the surface of the earth.
Wow.
1.5 feet deep.
Let's go there and get that.
No. Well,
screw this podcasting thing. This is
that's
making
a
us
really
any money at
bad
all. Let's go to the center of the earth.
That is a sci-fi movie original.
A vehicle made out of... was it unobtainium?
The yes. Core, the movie The Core, is on Netflix right now. I noticed it this morning.
Yeah.
I bookmarked it.
I haven't even watched that. I just know how bad
it
is.
Horrible.
It's a terrible idea down there. How much nutrient-rich dust does the wind transport from the Sahara to the Amazon rainforest every year? I'm not going to make you guess it. 40 million tons.
That's a lot.
Just getting stripped out of the Sahara and dropped into the rainforests.
All the way around the world.
I suppose it has to go all the way.
Yeah. Picking up some of China's pollution along the way?
Probably.
That's not a good fact. 75% of the Earth's animal species could be extinct within 300 years. Could. Give me a fact.
Monkeys could fly out of my butt.
Yeah. Two people die every second.
I'll watch that test.
Two people die every
They'll
second.
They'll all be waving their hands like this.
I'm not even going to repeat that joke.
Sorry.
No,
go ahead.
I'm not going to repeat that fact.
Two people die a second.
I tried.
Two people die every second.
Somebody was paying attention.
Not for good.
Two people die every second. 200,000 people are born every day.
How many seconds are there in a day?
I was going to say, that's the question now.
Math is screwy.
How many seconds in a day? So we get, what's our homework for the listener? Two people die every second. 200,000 people are born every day.
We're screwed.
How much, what's our net increase of people per day?
We are in trouble.
How long until people are literally dripping off the planet into space because there's no more room?
200 years, because everything else is going to be extinct.
That's right.
Here's one we can do as the game show. What percentage of the world's species have been identified? Do they estimate?
How could they possibly? Yeah.
They have to estimate it based on areas of the earth that haven't been explored fully and things that haven't been cataloged.
It's my turn to go
new
first.
Species sure. being created. Percentage of the world species that have been identified?
30%.
30%.
33%.
14%.
Wow,
we both went over.
Yeah.
Way over.
It only that to me just means, again, I think it's the oceans is probably, there's probably a lot of, weird spiders and things and different insects and things in very remote places and jungles and things, but a lot of it's probably down below the ocean.
They're probably counting mutations and all sorts of other things. I don't know.
And then, what, it's, the question also is, you know, well, what's a species? Right. What slight variation
turns into a species?
Calls it another species. You've got.
I bet somebody can answer.
Because they know right now that they've got this bug over here, and there's 72 versions of that bug. Well, what's the slightest variation between two versions of that bug? And are they counting on there being probably another 100 of those slight variations? So they think, well, there's another 100 types of this bug out there.
Where is species we just on haven't the found list the... of gene, genus, and family? And
family
all.
And
is genus. It all the way at the top?
No, it's down toward, it's near the bottom, I think. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I have to look it up. It's kingdom.
Phylum.
Something I haven't sound familiar. I haven't taken eighth grade science class in a long time.
Since what? About like eighth grade?
Yeah, something like
did
that.
Did you have junior high or middle school?
I had they were called both. What nothing was it wasn't really preferred.
When I was in eighth grade, we still had nine planets, so I'm older than you guys.
Well, guess what? We had nine planets, you know, when we started this podcast.
I didn't have junior high, I went straight from middle school to high school.
Well, junior high and middle school were the same thing. Those were synonymous where I went to school.
They didn't call it junior high, though.
And it was seventh and eighth grade.
We had middle school.
Ninth grade was high school.
Right. I was in Pennsylvania.
Sixth grade was elementary
middle
school.
Middle school?
We had middle school. Yeah. I didn't have junior high. I had middle school.
Okay, here's your iron. A solid iron ball, 1,500 miles wide, sits at the heart of the earth. Also, it's white hot.
With a lot of gold in it.
And the pressure is so high. It is, though. Oh, that's interesting. Although it is white hot, it's very, 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 very hot.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure down there is so high that iron can't melt.
It's still a solid.
It's still solid because the pressure is too high.
Yeah.
The pressure going up causes the melting point of iron to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now go and watch the core, and you can watch them come across the giant 1,500 mile wide.
Solid ball
of iron and get it spinning again. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because that would be spoilers. And I don't want to spoil this movie for you because
please,
I want you to discover
spoil it.
I want you to discover all of the terrible physics and science that there is in this movie all please, on your own.
Please, Daddy, spoil it. Please.
It's a what?
Horrible movie. Horrible movie.
Please, Daddy, spoil it.
Things just turned a little weird there.
I don't know what the... 90% of all volcanic activity is... Oh, yeah.
You were just waiting for that one.
Please, Daddy. Spoil it.
Baby.
And I don't mean the milk.
Spoil my daddy.
I mean the movie.
Who's your daddy?
Such a sexy day.
Oh,
is it time to go?
Yeah.
Where could they find us, Mike?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on Twitter, NerdBurgerShow on Facebook.
And Stitcher.
What's Stitcher?
Listen to the podcast, damn it. We talked about that last week.
And it's email an app. NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com.
Well done. Good thing he's been practicing this for 6 months, right, JD?
Yep. He's getting good.
Top notch.
He's getting real good.
We should give him a prize. Here's your prize, Mike. Mike, let me look at your prize. that's a middle finger right there. Oh, now you're going to start it again?
Okay. Well, yeah, because we're cutting that out.
Okay. Oh.
Because I said so.
If you cut that out, we're not friends anymore.
Because I said so should be the title of the episode.
No.
I thought it was going to be...
No.
Daddy, please spoil it.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to wrap it up, Mike. JD and I have to go play D&D.
Yep.
In other words, you have more important things to do.
Absolutely. On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig break new ground in the podcast industry.
Oh, really?
Do something that's never been done before in a podcast.
What's that?
We're going to sleep in a bed together.
Oh, what?
Or not. Bye-bye.
Not.
You okay?